Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So we've ruled out a specific cost of living package in advance of the budget. That was the defiant message from the Taoiseach Micheál Martin as he seeks to play down demands for universal government supports to help struggling families. But with staples like butter rising by 26% over the past year, have you noticed the price of your weekly shop rising? Or have you seen a spike in your utility bills as government supports have dried up? In short, do we need those cost of living supports again this year? Or is now a time for caution amid uncertain economic headwinds? Well, to debate this, I'm joined in the studio by Fianna Fáil TD for Clare and Minister of State for Fisheries and the Marine, Timmy Dooley, and by Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and spokesperson on finance, Piers Doherty. Now, Timmy, first to you. Charlie Weston in The Independent was writing about this, about that surge in grocery prices. I know many people listening to this will have seen this when they get to the till. Up 30% over 3 years. That's an extra €2,000 for groceries per annum. I mean, that illustrates really how much families are still being squeezed.
Yeah, but I mean, we must put all of this in context. We've seen over the past 5 years a very significant increase in the first instance in inflation. Much of that was as a result of the fallout from COVID, the pent-up demand that was there, and the war in Ukraine at the time. And we saw a peak in inflation of about 10%, which was unprecedented, really. We didn't see that level of increase since the 1980s. And that put huge pressure on households and business, particularly on vulnerable households. And the government reacted appropriately at the time, brought in very significant support for both business and households. I mean, I think about $7.3 billion of temporary expenditure, another $9.9 billion at the time in recurring expenditure.
All so those water were all water under the
yes,
bridge, but people are still squeezed. That's my point
here. No, I accept that, but the context has changed. And whilst there are individual items that have seen continued growth, the overall average inflation in April of this year will have reduced to about 2%, which, as you know, the ECB target that as the appropriate rate to continue a level of growth in the economy. So it's where it needs to be. So that's on average. Of course, there will always be prices that will spike on particular products.
Like the dairy, which is up by 26% in a year.
But from the government's perspective, they've now got to plan ahead. And Budget 26 will have to take into account, in a normalised way, those normal shocks that are within the system. The approach taken before, where there were individual packages associated with the cost of living, were to deal with the exceptional shocks that were in the system, where you had a spike of up to 10%. We're back into a more normalised environment. Yes, there are individual items and individual elements that are out of kilter, if you want, but that has to be handled in the normal budgetary process.
So you're completely at one with government policy here on this, which is that there will be no cost of living measures
in this
budget.
I'm also conscious, Claire, I'm also conscious that if you strip out the windfall taxes that were generated from the corporate sector last year and you strip away the Apple tax money that we got, we're in deficit. So we have a duty, recognising the uncertainties that are there in the economy at the minute. I mean, but you know, everybody knows the situation from the United States and the proposals around tariffs, the uncertainty that creates. So we have to be prudent in terms of managing the public finances, recognising the threats that are ahead, that you just don't continue.
Don't splash the cash when you may need
to do so in a more controlled way. So don't commit to something that you're not in a position to fund.
Let's hear from Piers Doherty on this now. So now is not the time to do it. And in fact, on the programme yesterday, Richard Curran was here talking about the risks of our economy overheating. And if you pump more money into the economy now, you know, potentially turbocharging inflation, you might end up hurting the people who you want to help, Piers.
Well, look, I completely disagree with that. And what we need is a targeted approach in relation to supporting people through this cost of living crisis. And look, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach Simon Harris, and indeed Timmy Dooley, would like to, you know, tell your listeners that it's gone away. You know, it's normal now. Well, it's not normal. You know, we are paying the highest energy costs in Europe. Under Timmy Dooley and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's government, we have runaway rents that are double digit in 12 counties. We have childcare costs that are absolutely crippling people. And we have groceries that are on the increase. We have insurance that's gone up 9% in the last year. People are crippled in terms of their motor insurance and their home insurance. And these are things, some of these measures that can be done by government don't actually cost the government anything. For example, banning rent increases allowing my legislation to take on the insurance companies and holding them to account wouldn't cost the taxpayer anything. But of course we need to support the people who are struggling. That is why, you know, the CSO told us that 50% of people don't have savings to get them through the next 3 months. They told us 20% of people don't have enough money to replace a broken piece of furniture. And yet, despite the fact, and look, Timmy and the government want to tell you that, you know, that we're in deficit, if this happened and that happened and all the rest happened, the Department of Finance just last week put out what they think is likely to happen this year and next year. And the surplus we will have this year is not in the millions, Claire. It is in the billions. It is 8.7 billion euro. And next year, even with the uncertainty around tariffs, we are expected to have 6.3 billion euro. Now, what we're arguing for is we need to see a cost of living package, because government sticking their hand in the sand, head in the sand. And remember, the first piece of legislation that this government brought forward was to make sure that their own people had a big feathered nest. It was increasing payments to junior ministers. It was making sure that the super junior ministers had more payments. That was the priority of this government. What I'm saying to you is there are people out there struggling to put food on the table and to make it to the end of the week, and we need a cost of living package.
Can I ask you, Piers, what does that cost of living package look like? What's in it? What should be in it?
Well, there's, as I said, Claire, there's a couple of things that actually wouldn't cost the state anything. So, for example, do what Sinn Féin have been calling for, to ban rent increases. That doesn't cost the state anything. It actually just makes sure that we don't have the rip-off rents that is happening in the last while. As I said, outside Dublin, they've gone up 9%. Bring forward my legislation in terms of the insurance companies, making sure that they pass off on the savings to the industry or to the customers instead of pocketing. And they're making, what, 2 and 3 times more than the industry average in other European countries. So we need to hold them to account. We've had 4 decreases in interest rates by the central bank so far this year, yet Bank of Ireland hasn't passed off any. These are things that a Minister for Finance should be doing, calling in the banks. But there is then times when you have to put your hand in your pocket. So what does that mean? By September, we should be rolling out, as Sinn Féin have argued for, 10 euro a day childcare. That can be done, it can be delivered, and it would be a massive, massive benefit for individuals.
What about energy? Also, an energy package.
We also need to see reform of the energy market. We have argued that what we need to do is we need to stop gas setting the price of all electricity. That's something that we in Sinn Féin have argued. And in the meantime, we need to see an energy credit supporting families, because we are, as I said, paying the highest energy costs in Europe. Like, this government sits back and allows all of this to happen. Like, we are being ripped off left, right and centre.
All right.
And there's things that have to be done, and there's things that we're getting step in. And like, the question is of course we can be prudent. I'm not arguing that this should be recurring expenditure. But let's not forget, the taxpayers of this country are generating a surplus of 8.7 billion euro. And Timmy is saying to people who are struggling out there, well, you're on your own, because we are not going to support you in relation to that. And I think that's nonsense. I think if you look at other jurisdictions, you can see that they are actually stepping in to support people during this time.
On that. Not only can you do those measures which Piers outlined at the end there, which will cost money, you'll have to put your hand in your pocket, but you can do things that don't cost anything.
But let's be clear now, and I don't want to take up the point, and I actually don't think he believes this. Piers well knows that this government and the previous government, when things were really difficult, got behind the Irish people and put in place the appropriate measures to fund people through those really difficult situations. It's always difficult when you're starting to move to a more normalised situation. And I accept for some people it isn't normal and they're going through particular difficult times in their lives. But we have to get back to the normal budgetary process where we factored in the cost of inflation. You then take in tune with that the growth in pay rises. I think at the moment it's about 3%, whilst inflation is running at 2%. So there's a little margin there. It's not a lot, but we're going in the right direction. So we've got inflation under control. We've now got to work on increasing the capacity of people to live through increased wages. And as I said, that's up by 3%. Just on the energy side, yeah, that's really important. We are out of kilter there, and we do need to address the base costs associated
and
with
insurance. Anyone who's renewed their insurance knows that it has gone up an awful lot this year for no apparent reason.
Absolutely,
and out of kilter with European norms.
There is and has been a consistent issue in this country about competition in the insurance market, and it's also there in the financial services sector. On the energy side, we're trying, a very strong policy to increase the generation of our own electricity. As you know, the government have a plan in place to do a lot more offshore wind energy capture. There will be a tender later in the year, an auction system off the southeast coast. where, you know, will be the long-term plan to generate more electricity there. And we have a plan then to do that right around our coastline. And that's the only way that we're going to get to grips with our energy, is to invest in the infrastructure, invest in the grid, invest in offshore wind, so that we have energy security and we have energy that's within our own control.
I just wonder, and I'm looking at some of the messages that are coming in, whether you've read the room right on this. So take this one. We're working parents of two. So I'm self-employed. My business is doing well. My husband is on a decent salary. We've two kids and we can't keep up with the utility bills, the mortgage repayments, the school voluntary charge, the extracurricular activities for swimming and so on. And now we're struggling to do the weekly shop. We've borrowed from family every month for the past few months just to keep food in the cupboards.
Claire, I hear those stories genuinely every week in my constituency office, in the clinics that I do. So it's not about not understanding. It's about trying to manage the financial position of the state in a way that we don't splurge money in an indiscriminate way, in a way that's going to put us in a perilous state if and when some of the risks that are already out there. Now, so we we've done this in the past and we can do it again. And what I'm saying,
sorry, Piers,
but as we plan into the budget, yeah. I think this is really important, Claire. It's not to say that when the planning process for the budget comes into account, that these matters won't be taken into account. Of course they will. What Piers is arguing is for this exceptional...
But the Taoiseach have been very clear. There will not be a cost of living package.
There will not be a separate cost of living in one-off payments that was carried out for the last number of years. We're now back into a situation where inflation is running at 2%, where wage increases are running at 3%, where we have to normalise the approach and we've got to factor in on a long-term rather than on an exceptional basis.
Even if people are saying
that's not to suggest that there can't be targeted measures within the budget to address those issues. No, we have to move away from the notion of the one-off. We've got to look at it on a more sustainable long-term basis, and that's not at all to suggest that when the planning comes into place for budget 2026 that the case that you've identified there and many other, that all of us in elected office, regardless of what political party, in opposition or government, we all hear the same stories. And of course we'll be trying to manage and meet those needs as part of a regularised budgetary process.
Piers, what did you want to say there?
Well, first of all, you see they're using the language like splurge and all that. That's an insult to people, some of those who are calling into your programme, Claire. The people that I meet in my constituency, and they exist in Timmy's as well, they are people who are really, really struggling. Timmy, what a splurge was in their eyes is actually use feather in the nest of junior ministers and super junior ministers. How much extra did the super junior minister get? 16,000 or something like that there? Actually allowing, the CSO told us that 1 in 8 lone parents can't afford to put a roast dinner on the table. Supporting them isn't a splurge. It is a requirement. It is your moral duty as a government of the country. A government that has, remember, 8.7 billion euro of a surplus this year. So like this nonsense about splurging and all that, and in my view, I think people at home will be tearing their hair out. And also it's not lost on them when you're talking about heating. Just let me make this point, because it's not lost on them. What this government has done just last week was increase the price of gas by putting carbon tax on it and increasing the price of home heating oil, which 2/3 of my county actually heat their homes through home heating oil and down the west coast because of the carbon tax. And what the government is planning to do in the budget again is to put up the price of petrol and diesel.
Piers, that we spend, you know, this money that's coming in from US multinationals. I mean, that's what you're saying is filling our coffers now. We know that Donald Trump is putting huge pressure on those companies. Is it really responsible for us to start spending that money now, given that we just don't know what's going to happen in a month, never mind next year?
Well, first of all, we're not arguing that we spend all of the 8.7 billion euro on a cost of living package. That's nowhere near what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is a portion of that needs to be supporting people who are really, really struggling at this point in time. And that is available to us in terms of one-off. It's not recurring expenditure. And the second thing is this 8.7 billion, which is forecasted this year and 6.3 next year, is actually the Department of Finance's estimates, taking on board all of the issues that are happening internationally. Of course, there's uncertainty. There can be uncertainty that it could go down. It also could go up, because if you look at actually the Department of Finance's suggestion in terms of the adverse scenario, it is worse than what is actually happening as of yesterday because of the China-US deal. So look, listen, there is a moral responsibility. There are people out there who are struggling, who can't put on heat in their home, who can't afford to put, as I said, a roast dinner on the table, 1 in 8 lone parents. And this is about supporting them.
But Piers,
that has always been the case, and that has been always been supported through the social welfare code, and you know the capacity for exceptional need payments
to me,
that
wouldn't
meet
be
the
able,
needs. And that support is there for the more vulnerable. And that's what I talked about, the necessity for targeted payments rather than the universality approach that was associated with the cost of living packages in the past. But what we've got to do is hardwire that in to the future. And by doing so in a normalised way in Budget 2026, we can get back or start getting back to a normalised budgetary process. I know from your perspective in opposition, it's always nice to spend money. You'll never have the responsibility in certainly during these couple of years in having to make the difficult decisions when you've got to look at the prudence of spending. And then on the other hand, I mean, the monies that are there are needed. We've got to spend a lot more money on infrastructure. You talked about the cost of housing, and you're right, and the cost of rents being out of control, and you're right. The only way to address that is investment. So with respect, Pierce, the investment in our housing stock... Please, Pierce, let me finish. We've got to invest in our housing infrastructure. We've got to invest in our water and sewage infrastructure. We've got to invest in our electricity infrastructure. That's the way to have a sustainable economy into the future. But we can do what you suggest, which is spend everything that comes in today, and then tomorrow, if there's an international shock or if there's further uncertainty that comes to pass.
But he's been very clear, Timmy. He's not saying that we spend everything that we have today. It's about helping people now who are struggling.
And I'm just as conscious as Piers Doherty
is.
And the government is just as conscious of the needs of those people. And we've always had their back, and we'll continue to have their back. But it has to be done in a more normalised way.
Let me make this point. Tell me, first of all, that's not true. If you had their back, you wouldn't be in a situation where 50% of the population doesn't have enough savings to get them past the next 3 months. We wouldn't be in a situation where people are really struggling at the minute if you had your backs. We wouldn't see double-digit increases if you had their backs. We wouldn't see AIB and Bank of Ireland making 5 billion euro profit while at the same time people are being squeezed in relation to homeowners and shortchanged in relation to savers.
You full well know
that
the importance.
That is the reality.
Of functioning pillar banks and
of
having
course,
an appropriate
Timmy,
banking institution.
5 billion euro a year,
and you know
profit,
the difficulty of a government meddling in the activities and the banking situation on an ongoing basis and the negative impact that that would have into the future. So if we want to have a sustainable economy into the future,
Timmy,
we've got to have a structure in place. And that's what I'm saying,
that's
the government is saying. Having a structured approach, but it's not just, you identify something today, and it's easy, of course, to suggest to the public that you can spend monies that you really don't have in the long run because they're going to be committed.
Yeah, I think, Timmy, what people are really surprised about here is that the government's position on a cost of living package is so definitive at this stage of the year. There's no leeway there. I mean, in what the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have said, it's pretty clear that there will be nothing this year in terms of those one-off payments. They're gone. They're not happening.
I think what we have to do, Claire, is be honest and give certainty to people. There's no point stringing people along.
But then on the other hand, you say there's no certainty because of Donald Trump and the international situation. That's why you're saving the money. It's the same for people's weekly budgets in their house.
What we're clearly saying is, Claire, that projected returns, particularly from the corporate sector, are vulnerable to international shocks. They have provided that level of funding has provided a very significant amount of monies to fund the last budget and previous budgets. There's no guarantee at all that it will be at the same level as it was previously, because the dynamic has changed. Regardless of even of a positive outcome from the tariffs discussion, there will be a fundamental shift. It may have an impact in terms of foreign direct investment and future potential. And we're going to have to work through that. So there's no point suggesting to the public that we can continue to do what we did in the past, notwithstanding that inflation has reduced, notwithstanding that general wage increases are starting to take hold, and therefore we're narrowing that gap. So we've got to be honest and upfront, and we're doing that, and we're setting it forward in time rather than stringing people along to the budget and then presenting
a
different set of
So you're giving people certainty on this. That's
We're giving the certainty, as much certainty as we have. And there is, as you know, worldwide uncertainty at the moment, and obviously the government will monitor that as we proceed.
Well, another listener says nobody expects one-off payments to continue, but the government should have dealt with the insurance, the energy and the utility companies from the outset. Listen, we're going to have to leave that there, but thank you both for joining us, Piers Doherty and Timmy Dooley. Coming up later on, how to say no effectively in work. But next up, we're going to get the latest from Israel as Hamas releases another hostage.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.